Welcome to the Nurturing Potential England Hockey Talent Team podcast. Here's what we've got coming up today.
I think like seeing them at multiple times, and then also I think it's really useful like when we have the opportunities to start to have conversations both with the player of, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you here? What do you want to get from this? And also when we have the opportunity to speak to the club and school coaches and really like connect the dots, because they might have already done a lot of work with that, and they can help us identify the strengths of these players already. And I think that just kind of accelerates the learning if we're leaning on their other environments and can kind of just pass that information along.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Nurturing Potential, the England Hockey Talent Team podcast. Today, there's myself and Sean Kitson hosting with two fantastic guests. We have Sarah Bertram. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. And we have Pip Conearth. Both are from Durham University. Just want to quickly introduce yourselves.
Yeah, Sarah Bertram. I am the Talent Academy Manager at Durham University and assistant coach for DUHC. Been involved in the player pathway for coming up to 15 years, talent identification for around 10 of those, coaching hockey in the northeast of England for around 20 years.
I'm Pip, program coordinator for Durham University Hockey Club. I work across our men's first team, our boys talent academy, and previously played back in the States.
Excellent. Wealth of talent, Sean, that we can hopefully get stuck into around today's topic. So today we are going to look at identifying potential. Just want to open it up to you both, and maybe Sean as well. Just how do we perceive potential then in your current environment? So what do we really mean by the word potential?
Yeah, I was just going to say, to me, that potential is all about looking at like the future and just what we can see in an athlete and kind of trying to find those like little nuggets that we can pull out and develop. So seeing kind of hints of what their super strengths might be and what are their strengths from a mindset perspective, what are their strengths from a physical perspective, and trying to find, you see those little glimmers in them and then kind of identifying those so we can develop them and help them fulfill what they best they can be.
Sean, you've probably got something you want to ask by the looks of it.
Yeah, no, I guess absolutely. Just following on from Pip there. How are you starting to consider those different aspects of, say, a young player's potential? So you rightly highlighted there's going to be some physical attributes. There's going to be certainly some social psychological aspects as well in terms of maturity in different environments. And with you guys working across the Talent Academy, sort of 14, 15 to 18, and then obviously the performance program of the university, there's going to be a lot of maturation changes for those boys and girls growing up. Of course, there's the hockey and kind of their background and their playing age, training age. Maybe they do other sports, I don't know. But so how are you kind of pulling that all together? What's your starting point, either within the TA, university, or both? How are you starting to build that picture on the ground from a sort of day-to-day, week-to-week basis?
Yeah, I think one thing that you highlighted of the like relative age of them is really key for us looking at, obviously across the Talent Academy, we have the different age groups. Some players who have, you know, played club for multiple years at an adult level, and some who have never done that. And I think it's all about kind of making sure we are looking at that in an appropriate way. In the same way with our university athletes, we've got some first years who've never played our system. And then we've got third years who have done it for years now. So it is, I think, key for us of like recognizing kind of where everyone is in their learning journey, so that we can like still make sure we're identifying those players who might be earlier along in their journey, but who have the ability to develop each year. I think for us at Durham, it's so key that we are developing players across our time. We have players who are starting in our, I think, fourth team who have played men's ones this season. Similar with our girls, we've got a player now who's in her third year. She came in through our just like open trials, started in our fours and fives, and now is into our first team. So it's all about kind of, can we develop them over time and identify them at early ages, I think.
The good thing about the Talent Academy environment, though, is that we can start to build pictures of the players with help from their school and their club coaches. Obviously, Pip's just alluded to some of them are playing club, some of them aren't, they play school, but we have relationships with those coaches at school and club and building pictures around those players in collaboration with those people. So we can both, the club and the school and the TA, all of those can work together to develop them based on what where we're at with them. What can we now work on? Has he, where's he got to with that? Where's she got to with that? Do we still need to work around that? Well, no, actually, this has come up. We can work around this. That's fine. But we have that relationship. We're building pictures.
I think that helps us work on the different aspects as well, because maybe at school they are getting a lot of S&C support and approach. So we know that their physical kind of attributes are going to be developed in that environment, but maybe they're not playing clubs, so they need the more technical, tactical elements, and we can help them with that. So I think it's helpful to kind of branch across the different elements of it and start to build a bigger picture and figure out who can help them develop in different areas.
Yeah,
and that really speaks to one of our principles of that talent develops at different rates in different contexts, and they're on their own unique journey, and therefore one young person, like say, might require something around the others might be something to do with the hockey. It will vary, won't it? In one of the things, Sarah, you shared with me actually yesterday, was around a weekly planner. So it's almost like you talked about this picture. We're almost building up this picture of a profile of the individual. Like, do you want to talk to us about the planner? How's that supporting you build an understanding of the young person and their potential based on probably what you're gathering from them, I guess?
Yeah, so the planner's great. It just does what it says on the tin. It is a weekly planner. So it's Monday through Sunday. And it's kind of the day is divided up morning, afternoon. And the way that we have encouraged them to kind of fill these in is like, okay, so yes, a chunk of the morning is going to be schoolwork. And then do you have PE, or is it, for want of a better word, if they call it PE, or do you have a dedicated hockey session? Do you have any S&C session in there? What happens in the afternoon? So it's trying to, we're just trying to break down their day a little bit, not overcomplicated for them, break down their day a little bit, just so, again, like we say, we can build that picture up across their week to see what their load is. So their physical load, their school load. I've even got a little bit on there about their sleep. So basically, very simple again, how many hours are you sleeping? Is it a good sleep? Do you feel refreshed? That kind of thing. Just again, just so we can start to build that little picture of how their week is going. When they get to us on Wednesday, are they going to be refreshed? Have they had a lot that's been going on in the previous 2 or 3 days? And just trying to, as I say, really build that picture to try and work with them as best we can.
Yeah, it's so important, you know, in terms of building that profile around the person, their background, what else is happening. Of course, there's a player bit around their physical and their hockey load, and it's so imperative we try to understand that. And I really like the idea of building the picture, building the profile, so ultimately as coaches you can support them with their development.
Yeah, Gary, 100%.
Come back to you.
So we've started to talk about the whole player, the picture, the profile, etc. So if we think about the actual process in place, let's go all the way back to you seeing a player or trying to find players to join the academy. Maybe that's through county school club activities, or if we think about maybe just Durham University itself looking for players, etc. How do you actually start that process? So if I was a club coach now, and I'm more a school coach, and I'm thinking about, actually, I really like this idea of sort of looking in and getting to know this person a bit better to be able to make decisions. What processes do you have in place, or practices, or whatever it is, to be able to bring that to life, to be able to sort of start looking at potential when you're starting to analyze them from an assessment point of view? That would be the wording and the language that was being used.
I suppose the simplest thing immediately is, and this will sound really daft, to watch them. That doesn't sound so basic. We need to watch them, and then we can begin to form that kind of picture in our minds as to what attributes do they have. Are they athletic? Are they, and again, just as simple as how do they hold a stick? How are they moving the ball? How are they receiving the ball? How do they move with it? Where is it? Are they like, how do they communicate? Do they communicate with teammates? Do they pass the ball when they should? Or do they not? It's just as simple as watching them and trying to work out a few of those things.
I think like making sure we watch them and kind of get a bigger picture of them over multiple times as well. So not just seeing them on a one-off day where it's hard to know if that's their like 6 out of 10 day, that's their 4 out of 10, or that's their 10
we all
out of
have
10.
Bad days.
But I think like seeing them at multiple times, and then also I think it's really useful like when we have the opportunities to start to have conversations both with the player of, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you here? What do you want to get from this? And also when we have the opportunity to speak to the club and school coaches and really like connect the dots, because they might have already done a lot of work with that, and they can help us identify the strengths of these players already. And I think that just kind of accelerates the learning if we're leaning on their other environments and can kind of just pass that information along.
Thanks both. I think that's really important for people to understand about how you're starting to formulate this profile. One of the things you haven't touched on there, but I do know that you do, is when you get into those conversations with players, you start to think about their hockey age as well. So how long have they been playing for? What hockey have they been doing, etc.? Can you just explain to the listeners a little bit around that within that profiling stage that you do as well?
Yeah, I think like hockey age, even two kids who, let's say, are both 15, one has been playing hockey every day for, I don't know, the past 4 years, or, you know, 6 days a week, whatever, between school and club and whatnot. And then you've got another player who's 15 who's been playing for 6 months. And if they're at the same kind of, if you look at them now, if they're at the same like level of technical ability at the moment, well, one's taken a lot longer to get there than the other. And I think that can really help us recognize probably rate of development that we can expect moving forward.
Thank you. Which, Sean, for us, again, within the talent system, is something that we really want to start bringing to life that little bit more, is actually people really starting to understand that hockey age really helps us be able to understand the player potential and where they could get to, and how everybody might have different places and different rates, which is what we were talking around earlier.
Yeah, and I also, you know, what Sarah and Pip were alluding to makes me think of the complete player qualities. That's a really good image and framework to consider potential through. So obviously, Sarah alluding to some of the actions you might see on the pitch. So some of their highly skilled actions, some of their game understanding. And then, as you were alluding to, Pip, earlier, we obviously spoke about the physical attributes of a young person. Where are they? Where might they go as they develop and mature? But of course, there's the teamship side of it, those social skills around leadership and communication, as well as the mental skills, because we know some of the Great Britain qualities of bygone Olympians and athletes have spoken about things of resilience and mental toughness and through the good times and the bad times. So I think, you know, for community coaches out there, in terms of understanding potential, using the complete player qualities is a really useful starting point. And then starting to think about layering in, yeah, what is that background? Where's that? What's that person's journey being like? What are some of the experiences they've been exposed to? Because it will look different from one to the next. So just following on from that thread around the complete player qualities, if we move forward where a player is now, say, within your talent academy or within the DUHC sort of performance program, I saw a lovely tweet you did a few weeks ago on your individual development plans, your IDPs, which was great to see that sort of come to life. So how, I suppose, why are the TA, the university, investing in individual development plans, and what are you hoping are the benefits for the players longer term?
I think first thing is just the like importance of goal setting and players kind of taking responsibility for their own development and path. It gives them a sense of ownership, and it also kind of empowers them as they move forward. Ultimately, it's about the player and what they want to get out of their experience in their hockey. And this can kind of guide them. I think an IDP gives you some structure so that you think about it, but also gives you the freedom to decide what you think is most important for you. I think from my playing experience, it was every time you go out to a session, you have your intentions of what you're trying to get out of that session. So for me, it was usually one on-ball focus, one off-ball focus, one kind of mental skill that I was trying to make sure that those are what I nailed over, let's say, the week. Those would be my three things I would focus on going to a week of training. And then those would all be built based on my individual development plan and what I, over the course of, let's say, the next 6 months to a year, wanted to develop on. So I think it's really the first foundation of kind of setting those bigger intentions, really having to think, especially about what you're good at, because so often young players are, you know, I need to be better at this, better at this, better at this. And they never go, well, I'm actually really good at this and I'm going to develop the most if I actually also focus on what I'm good at. I think we lose that element sometimes of continuing to develop our super strengths. And yeah, having that individual development plan puts it down, puts it on paper. We know goals are better achieved when they are in writing. And then it allows players to go back from that and set their intentions in each training session, each week, every time they're on the pitch.
I think I just want to add, if that's all right, just with regards to, obviously, it's a personal thing. It's a responsibility for them to set this and set these intentions and to work towards these goals. But what I have found, and this might be interesting for coaches who might be going through this or having their players start to produce one of these documents, is that, just linking to what Pip said about we're not very good at actually writing down what our super strengths are. But it is important, it's really important to be able to focus on the positive things as well as the things we need to work on, because you'll still need to work on your super strengths. So they get just even, you know, to go stratospheric rather than just being your super strength. It's a super, super strength. You keep working on that. But we're not that great as players as identifying where we're really good. It's more like, oh, I did that. I was terrible at that. Oh, yeah, I really need to. I didn't hit that right. And it's more negative than positive sometimes.
Yeah, no, I think it really helps us. Join up the dots as coaches as well. Mm-hmm. It starts really good conversations where you can kind of go have that one-to-one with the player, and you now have this kind of framework to start really good conversations. And sometimes maybe what we expect a player to write down, it's not. And that kind of gives us a lot of information about where they are at. And it allows us to also help in their development if they're identifying what they want to focus on, and we can help guide them into what we think they should focus on as well.
No, really, really good overview of individual development plans and how you're approaching it. So given they've been in place a little while now, within your environments, how has the uptake been? Where do you think you are in terms of that, moving from, say, coach introducing them to player ownership? And really interesting, what has the focus tended to be? Have you driven any of that focus in relation to their development, or has it all been completely player led? So I think that's an interesting balance. So yeah, where are you at with the ownership, and how are you driving some of that longer term development with the players?
In terms of like individual session thing, kind of design and plan, one piece that we've been looking at is we're kind of telling them at the beginning of, well, they're aware of what like training block we're in, but we're telling them specifically at the beginning of a session, you know, we're going to focus on X, Y, and Z today. And this is kind of our plan moving forward. And then we'll go to them, and actually we would have a whiteboard marker, big whiteboard on the side of the pitch, and we would get them to write down their individual focus at the beginning of the session, that they would all, everyone, as they're warming up, go put it on the board. Should be related to obviously what we had told them the sessions around. So we're in an on-ball phase. We're hoping they're leaning on their on-ball things from their IDP, and then getting them to debrief that at the end of the session. So get with a partner, have a chat. What was your focus that you had written on the board, and how did you think you achieved it? And it just allows us to bring that IDP to a really applied setting at an individual training night for us a Wednesday evening.
Amazing. Sarah, I don't know if there's anything you want to add around how the ownership has been going with the players and how it's been derived.
So it's interesting within the Talent Academy environment that we have some players who are kind of used to working on similar things, or they might be within another sport at a reasonably high level, so they're quite used to filling these kind of things in. And then we do have players that are not used to doing that, so it is probably more, I would say, it is more coach led. It is more kind of reminding them to complete the document, and making sure that then they've kind of feeding it back to us, or sharing it with their school coach, or sharing it with their club coach. So it's for some it's great. Then they really do take ownership of it themselves. And I've had some incredibly detailed documents given back to or shared with me. And then there are some that have struggled a little bit. But I would just say that it's just that they're not really used to doing that kind of thing. So we just have to work with them a little bit on it to help them to understand, and hence Pip, mine and Pip's little Twitter episode, in that this is why we do it, this is why it's important, and this is how it can help you.
No, that's I think that's really good. I think it's a good way of engaging, good way of bringing it to life through your own experiences. And I think that's pretty similar to a lot of sort of Talent Academy environments, even England age group, where it takes time for the ownership to move perhaps a little bit more from the coach, from an introduction point of view, to the player really. No, this is about me and about my journey. And I think that really brings us nicely back round as part of potential, isn't it? You know, the characteristics of considering someone's how they learn, how they engage, their desire and hunger to want to improve, to self-reflect and be aware of who am I and who do I want to be as a person and as a player, as a performer. So no, really, really nice. Gary, I'll come back to you.
Thank you. Let's just try and wrap this up into some real nice bullet points for people that might be listening. If I was out there going out coaching now, what would be the three things or the three takeouts from our discussion today that you would want to land in a coach, school teacher's world right now? What three things would that be? Bear in mind, they may not have started looking at this at all. So, yeah.
Do you know one thing I would say for any kind of, like you say, school, club coaches, come and observe coaching sessions within a talent environment. So if you're not working within like kind of national league programs, or you know, that kind of stuff, come and observe what, for example, what we do at the Talent Academy at Durham Uni, what we do at DUHC, and the coaching sessions we have. It will give you a really good idea as to where we're at, the level that we're coaching at, the standard of the players we're coaching, what we're delivering, how we're delivering it. And that would be one for me, would be try and go and observe a talent environment and see how they're working.
So then they can get a greater understanding of how you're putting all this into place.
Yeah.
Pip, anything from you?
Yeah, I think probably three biggest things for me. One is just kind of having a multiple pronged approach to looking at identifying potential. So making sure we aren't just looking at, you know, the most technically gifted player at the time. And it's kind of considering all of those player qualities and making sure we are particularly focusing on potentially that psychological element, the teamship skills that I think we do sometimes neglect when identifying potential, but those are so important to playing at the highest level. So I think you've got to look at all of the complete player qualities and not just the ones that might stand out a little bit more. I think second one, just the hockey age piece of it, especially working with young players, we just have to recognize, I mean, I didn't start playing hockey till I was 14. So obviously if you saw me when I was 15, you weren't going to be impressed. So I think it's just making sure we are aware of that. And then last bit is once they are in an environment, I do think the importance of giving ownership to the players through goal setting, whether that's formally through IDPs or just, you know, informally on the side of the pitch, what are they doing? It allows the players to have ownership and kind of teaches them skills that are really important as they'll continue along their path and journey through hockey.
Thank you very much. Sarah, Pip, you know, great conversations. You're doing some really fantastic work. Thank you for sharing. Hopefully the listeners will really take some information in. Obviously, you're out there on social media. People may want to engage, and I'm sure you'd be really happy to do that if they do. Thanks again for your time, your efforts in putting this together. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Nurturing Potential, the England Hockey Talent Team podcast. Thank you.
Yep.